Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel, coming to you south of the border. Let's get straight to the docket. First, are Chris Watts and the former Nicole Kessinger a couple again? Second, the Derek Chauvin trial continues, and a little bit of a twist on a witness that was brought up yesterday in court. Third, new video released regarding the death of Alex Cox. For those of you who don't recall, that's the brother of Lori Vallow. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that little subscribe button as well as the bell so that you receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. Well, for those of you who haven't been following this week, that's right, Wednesday we came down a little south of the border. We are at the beautiful Hotel Belmond, just south of Cancun. Get enough of the ocean, it is fabulous. But we will be back on Monday. And don't forget, Tuesday night, we will go live. All right, straight to the docket. First thing, are Nicole Kessinger and Chris Watts back together again? Now, we all know Chris Watts. He's obviously serving a life sentence. He's never going to get out because he murdered his wife and two daughters. But it is reported that he is still in contact with his girlfriend that he killed his family to start a new life with back in 2018. Now, a fellow inmate, so you have to take this with a grain of salt, told the Daily Mail that Nicole Kessinger, who's changed her identity and disappeared, is following Watts' arrest and conviction and still writes him under a new name. Now, as you may recall, we tried to attend the name change hearing of Nicole Kessinger, but the court basically made it a private sealing, which is unbelievable in the state of Colorado, because the attorney said that there was going to be press there, i.e. Scott Reich, who just wanted to lay out the facts. Apparently, somebody probably should have known what name Nicole Kessinger is probably writing Chris Watts under. I'm sure all of those letters are being examined, everything that comes in and everything that comes out. So this inmate says that Chris Watts told him that she needed to speak to him to clear some things up. Really? Wow. David Carter, that's the inmate, and he was released from prison in February, and he told the news outlet that he wouldn't tell me exactly what she said. And once again, for those of you who don't recall, Watts was having an affair at this time of the murders and telling investigators months after he was arrested and convicted, his girlfriend never asked him to get rid of his family, but their relationship may have contributed to his decision to kill his wife and daughters. Now, Nicole Kessinger has done everything to cancel herself and to drop off the face of society. She's very difficult to find. We found her and we weren't going to dox her, but the reality of it is she has changed her name, but apparently just can't seem to get over that Chris Watts guy. Makes you almost think that maybe she has something on her mind, maybe something she'd like to tell the rest of the world. She always has an open invitation. All she has to do is contact Crime Talk. We'll give her an open forum, but we will ask the questions that everybody wants to know. Next on the docket, the Derek Chauvin trial continues. Late yesterday afternoon, we heard from one of the supervisors who basically said that they were involved in the use of force incident, but once Mr. Floyd had passed away, it was kind of above his pay grade. Now, the defense got a couple of good things out of this witness yesterday, which basically said, hey, things are changing constantly when you're a police officer, that it's a dangerous job and that you have to basically be on the lookout for all types of dangerous situations and that you have to constantly be reassessing those situations. And the defense, I thought, did a very good job of getting the information that they wanted from that particular witness. Now, obviously, the now retired supervisor got up there yesterday and said, well, you know, you should have stopped the use of force once somebody was restraining. But the defense brought out the fact that if somebody's unconscious, more than likely as a result of drugs, that when they become conscious again, they can actually become more combative. And the former sergeant in that particular case testified, yes, that's true. And that's the training that people receive. And as we've talked about before, this is a trial where the defense is simply saying, I did what I was trained to do. Why are you second guessing me? And oh, by the way, George Floyd was basically dying because he was on fentanyl. Now the prosecution saying that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd and it was only as a result of the excessive force. We'll have to wait and see how this jury trial continues to come out and what the jury ultimately decides upon. Now, the one thing that I think was rather interesting was that when Derek Chauvin's girlfriend testified, she talked about the person that was providing the drugs to George Floyd. She also testified about the fact that when she began using opioid drugs again, that the same individual, this Mr. Morris Hall, was the gentleman who gave her the drugs, and she described it on one occasion where she thought she was going to die. She had never experienced something like this before in her use of both pain pills, heroin, once the pain pill prescriptions were no longer available, which when one could possibly conclude that that was fentanyl. Well, Maurice Hall, he's 45, and he was apparently also present in the vehicle the date that George Floyd was contacted for allegedly passing this $20 bill. He had kind of beat feet out of town when the heat became a little hot, and he had a warrant issued for his arrest for violation of a domestic violence case, orders that were issued in that particular matter. Mr. Hall has been extradited back from Houston, Texas, and is currently sitting in jail. The prosecution wanted to call Mr. Hall, but he is now stating through his counsel that he is going to assert his Fifth Amendment rights. Now, Mr. Hall, unless he is given immunity, and I'll be curious to see if the prosecution would grant him immunity for his testimony or whether they will simply refuse to call him. Now, a lot of people think that, oh, he's going to get in front of the jury and take the Fifth. No, he's not going to do that. You cannot, as an attorney, ethically call somebody to the stand to have them take the Fifth Amendment. It's done outside the presence of the jury. The jury will never see that. If immunity is granted, then Mr. Hall would have to testify. And if he refused to answer the questions truthfully, he could be held in contempt. Now, this case has gone back and forth, and I've tried to be very objective watching it, and if I had to call it, as I've said before, trial is like a tennis match. It's back and forth. Somebody gets a good, you know, point, somebody else gets another good point. So far, I don't think there's been any aces except for the video. The video obviously makes it an uphill battle for the defense. But the defense, I think, is doing pretty well given the circumstances they have to work with. Let me know what you think. I think it's pretty close to a tie. Maybe the prosecution's a little ahead, but thus far, I am not absolutely convinced that Derek Chauvin was the only cause of the death of George Floyd. Evidence has been raised about the drug use. That may completely change when the medical examiners come to the stand. We anticipate them sometime next week. And I think that's when it's going to get very, very interesting. Let me know in the comments below. Is somebody running away with this? Is it close? And remember, be objective. Be objective. That's what I'm trying to do. Be objective. The prosecution has a little bit of a head start here simply for the fact that somebody has died and they've had multiple officers come in and say, that the use of force was excessive thus far. However, I think the defense has countered that to some extent. Will it be enough to carry the day for either side? We'll find out. Let me know in the comments below. I think it's a tie. Maybe the prosecution's running away with it. Is the defense holding their own? Let me know in the comments. Before we continue on with the docket, let's take a quick recess.
Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
Next on the docket, we have some new body cam video released as it relates to the death of Alex Cox. For those of you who don't recall or are not familiar with the Lori Vallow case, Alex Cox is the brother of Lori Vallow. He's also the man that killed one of Lori Vallow's previous husbands, who died mysteriously just 2 months after JJ and Tylee went missing. Now, the wife of Alex Cox, Zulima, is on the video basically asking, why are you all here in my house? I found him blue. The police officers are stating that, hey, somebody died here in the house. We're not leaving until we can finish our investigation. Zulima seems to be saying, hey, he didn't die here. He died at the hospital. Why are you still here? A little defensive, you might say, for sure. Needless to say, take a look at the video yourself. You decide if there's something nefarious or whether, as Freud used to say, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
I don't know. That's what Mike is probably one of our best paramedics.
He was blue when I walked in.
What's that?
He was blue when I walked in until I started doing compressions. He was blue on the face.
I'm just wondering, is it possible for you guys to wait outside? My kids are already going through enough trauma as it is without you guys standing right next to them.
So we're definitely not trying to make things worse, ma'am. We're not trying to have anybody feel bad or be anxious, but someone died in your house today, and we're not going to leave your house until we finish that investigation. So
let me ask you this. So why are you saying that someone died in the house when he wasn't even pronounced dead until he was in the hospital?
Well, the incident started here. I get that he was pronounced deceased at the hospital. But all of that started here. It didn't start in the hospital. It started in this house.
Let me say goodbye to him because they took me away from the detective took me out of the room.
Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Pamela Sisko. She thought that it would be funny to send a joke to her sister, and get this, this must be the death of common sense. She sent a text to her sister that there was an active shooter at her place of employment and that she was hiding in the facility in a closet. Who does that? Well, Pamela Sisko did. She got arrested for basically creating a panic and disturbing public services, i.e. wasting the court's time. So Pamela Sisko of Ohio, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Who's the fool now? Now, we had kind of a short week because of the Chauvin trial. I was real busy first part of the week because of a court appearance. So we have a limited number of dumb criminal contestants this week. But let's go through them first. Monday, we had Shakira Small. She was the United States postal worker accused of stealing debit cards from the people that she was delivering mail to so that she could get plastic surgery. Wednesday, we had Katrina Russell. She sold a car to a 13-year-old for $80, and then that teenager drove the car in a reckless manner because it didn't have a license and hadn't had any formal training on operating a motor vehicle, and is being charged with the death of a 71-year-old man. Yesterday, we had John Combs. He's 47, and he said that the crystal-like substance that they found in his Walmart bag, in his pocket, was simply Epsom salts to treat a ingrown toenail. Needless to say, police didn't buy it, and it came out to be methamphetamines. And then today, obviously, Pamela Sisco calling in a active shooter text for an April Fool's joke. Ooh, bad taste, don't you think? Anyway, let me know who you think the dumb criminal contestant should be. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. We will be back in the office, the Crime Talk studio, on Monday. Have a safe, wonderful weekend.